dead. Get yourself and be broken in pieces. Assemble yourself from the east, north, south, and west and be broken in pieces. Take your counsels in the regions of the sea and it shall come to naught. Speak your word and it shall not stand, for God is with us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, let the veil be destroyed. Let the deception be arrested. Let the blindness be rebuked. Grant your servant utterance. Let your spirit have his way. Let the word of the Lord have a free course. Let the enemy's embargoes be broken. Let his shackles over your people and this house be broken. And let the Spirit of God speak one more time. In Jesus' name, amen. Please welcome somebody to church. Give the Lord a clap offering and a shout after that and be seated. Remember, the word is pray for the peace of Jerusalem, not the peace of Israel. We are in Psalm 122, verse 6 and 7. And we have come to Matthew 24 that you can study later. On Wednesday, I want to talk about the things we do that grieves the Holy Spirit. We did mention about grieve not the Holy Spirit, nor quench not the Spirit. But I didn't tell you how do we grieve the Spirit and how do we quench the Spirit. So on Wednesday, we'll be looking at the things we do as believers that grieves the Holy Spirit. And then the week after, we'll be looking at how do we quench the Spirit. What does it mean to quench the Spirit? Because if we don't know these things, there is the temptation and possibility of grieving the Holy Spirit and you don't even know it. So we want to look at the things we do that grieves the Holy Ghost as believers. Today we want to continue our subject on being driven by the Spirit or being driven by the soul. You can be driven by your flesh, your soul, your emotions, your feelings, your intellect, or you can be driven by the Spirit of God. Please come with me to the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5 and verse 23. 1 Thessalonians 5, 23.
And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly.
Whole, make you whole, sanctify you whole. Go ahead.
And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body.
Remember, you are a spirit, you have a soul, you live in a body.
I pray God that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless
until
the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Tell somebody you are a spirit, you have a soul, you live in a body, and that is who you are. So keep that in mind, never forget. And the Bible said the candle of the Lord, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. It means that God will illuminate, guide, protect, direct, enlighten you, which is your soul, through your spirit. So God communicates to man through the spirit of man by his spirit, because God is a spirit. God does not speak to your senses. He doesn't speak to your feelings. He doesn't speak to your emotions. God is a spirit. He does not speak to your flesh. Paul said, God whom I serve with my spirit and not with my soul, or not with my flesh. So we serve God by our spirit, not by our soul, and not by our flesh. Say, I hear you. It's very, very important. Say, I hear you. One more time. Say, I hear you. So you are a spirit. Say again, I'm a spirit. Say, I'm a spirit. Say, I'm a spirit. I have a soul. I live in a body. Romans 8, 1 and 2. Romans 8, 1 and 2.
There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death.
Please look at me. Keep your eyes off everything else. Please look at me. It's important. I want you to look at me. This is a very, very serious scripture here, and I want to say something to unlock something. A lot of believers quote this scripture, and I used to quote it when I was a young Christian. As I've come of age in the things of God and I'm still growing, I'm beginning to look at it in a different light. He said, there is now therefore no condemnation To them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. What does that mean? It means that you can be in Christ and walk after the flesh and not after the Spirit. Therefore, if you are in Christ and you walk after the flesh and not after the Spirit, you can come under condemnation. So you cannot say that there is no condemnation because I'm in Christ if you are walking after the flesh and not after the Spirit. Now, another day, maybe next week, we will look at what are the works of the Spirit and what happens to those who walk after the flesh and not after the Spirit. And that is where the works of the flesh comes in. Envy, jealousy, fornication, adultery, and all those unclean things, they are things that people who walk after the flesh and not in the Spirit do. What does that mean? It means you can still be in Christ and do all these things that unsafe people do or you used to do before you got born again. Even though you are in Christ, you still do those things if you walk after the flesh and not after the Spirit. Now, it doesn't matter whether you're a prophet, an archbishop, or a bishop, or a pastor, an evangelist, a deacon, an elder. It doesn't matter how many years you have been born again and how many years you've been in Christ or in the church. If you are not walking after the Spirit, you will walk after the flesh. And if you walk after the flesh, you will fulfill the lust of the flesh. So when you are quoting this scripture, there is therefore no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Remember that condemnation, you are only free from condemnation if you are walking after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 4 and 5.
In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together and my Spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the Spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus.
This was a believer in Christ who had an affair with his stepmother in the church in Corinth. He had an affair with his stepmother. I did something of this caliber many years ago when I came from Bible school and I started the work at a student hostel. Something happened to a couple and I attempted this, but I didn't go to this extent. I excommunicated them from the church, but I didn't go to the extent of handing over their flesh for destruction so that their spirit may be saved on the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Paul said, this guy has gone too far. He has graduated, filled the cup, even though he's in Christ. He's in Christ, he's born again, he has a renewed spirit. But if we don't do something, because he has so graduated in living in the flesh and following his flesh, if we don't deliver his flesh to destruction, he could lose his salvation. So let his flesh be delivered to Satan for destruction, that his spirit that is renewed, born again, may be preserved on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. So here you see a believer, somebody that is in Christ, who is supposed to be living a life different from the life he was living, and yet his flesh was controlling him. His feelings and his passion controlled him. Why? Because he hadn't learned to renew his mind. The Bible says that we should present our body as a sacrifice acceptable, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. And he said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. So when we get born again, our mind must also be renewed for you to understand that, like for instance, you leave Ghana, you go to another country, the rules there are different from the rules in Ghana. So you have to know that the rules in Ghana don't apply to the rules in another country and you have to adjust your thinking, your mind and everything to that new environment. So when you get born again, it's your spirit that is born again. Your soul, your mind, your body is not born again. So your mind must be renewed by the word of God so that you can be spirit driven. Just being born again and being in Christ is not enough. You must be spirit driven. Tell somebody, I see that as for you, you are a spirit-driven believer. You, I see that. Tell somebody, I see that, I can see that. That you are a spirit-driven believer. You, see, I hear you. Come with me to Matthew chapter 4, verse 1.
Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil.
You see, so here was Jesus. For 30 years, he walked the face of the earth. And he refused to perform miracles. He refused, except at the wedding feast of Cana of Galilee, when he turned water into wine. He refused to work miracles. He would not do anything. And he kept saying, my time has not yet come. My time has not yet come. Until the Holy Spirit came. And when the Holy Spirit came on him, one of the things the Holy Spirit did was to lead him or to drive him. Tell somebody, be driven by the Spirit. Be driven by the Spirit. You see, and it's very dangerous to be in Christ and be driven by your feelings. I see people around me 24/7 driven by what they think, driven by their thought, driven by their emotion, driven by offense, driven by ego, driven by pride, driven by unbelief, driven by fear, driven by agitation, driven by provocation, vexation, driven by sentiment, driven by anything, the flesh, emotions. Just, do you know, how can you talk to me that way? Who do you think you are? Even when I say that if you don't attend a home cell, you are a rebel, there are people who will be offended with that. I say, how dare you talk to me like that? Do you know who I am? This is too much. This man is beginning to insult us. All that is carnality and flesh. It's carnality. It's flesh. Jesus called people names. He called the woman, he said, you are a dog. I will not give the bread of the children to dogs, the meat. I won't give it to dogs. And the woman said, yes, I'm a dog. The truth of the matter is that he wasn't saying she's a dog, but he's referring to you don't have a covenant with God. You are not part of the covenant people of God. And we get offended about everything. And that is all flesh. It shows where we are spiritually, that we are carnal. Paul said, I could not talk to you as spiritual. He said, I couldn't address you. I couldn't give you strong meat. There are things that I can't teach in this church. And in some churches, I can't. Because the people are not ready for it. If I teach on some things right now, you will see the level of backsliding and carnality that will take place. Like the issue of wine, things like wine, champagne. If I start teaching on that right now, and I tell you my view and my stand and conviction that there are things that are lawful but not expedient, just trying to bring clarity, the kind of backsliding and interpretation that people will attach to it, they will start drinking wine and champagne as water. And we say, have you heard purpose preaching and sermon? You know, so you realize that people are not, they haven't come of age to a place where they can be trusted with truth at a level that you know that they will not backslide, but they will see reason. They just can't handle it. So there are some things you don't touch it, you don't teach it, you just leave it. Because Paul said, I could not speak to you as spiritual. And then he said, he explained why he couldn't speak to us. As he said, why there is division and strife and envy and jealousy. And Wednesday when I show you the things that grieves the Holy Spirit, you'll be shocked. Are the things in your life and in my life that grieves the Holy Ghost. And we do it every day. Does it mean that we grieve the Holy Ghost every day? Yes! When I show you the things according to scripture that grieves the Holy Spirit in the life of believers, all of you here will be shocked. A lot of husbands will have to repent. And wives, you'll be shocked. I'm hurt. I'm offended. I won't talk to you. Moodiness, being cold, unforgiveness. If I show you, you'll be shocked. You realize that it's possible that the Holy Spirit has even left you. No, you wait till Wednesday, I'll show it to you. And the Bible said that the Holy Spirit, we are sealed by the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. And you will see that there is a possibility that you have broken the seal of your redemption. Because the Bible says that the Spirit of God will not wrestle with man forever. So there is a point he steps back and leaves you alone. And that was what happened to Samson. Samson kept grieving him and grieving him and grieving him and grieving him, and he left. And the Bible said he did not know that the Spirit had departed from him. And the danger why I must teach on these things is because, you will get so used to the formality of church and praise and worship, then the preacher comes and preaches and teaches, then we take our tithes, then we take our offering, then we do a little singing there, then we shout hallelujah, then they make us happy and all the comedies and all these songs, and we feel emotionally fulfilled and happy, and we go home, and yet the Spirit is not there. And we can't even notice it. The presence of God has left, and we don't even know it, because we grieve him. And I'll show you how we grieve him. Not tonight, on Wednesday. I will show you the different areas we grieve the Holy Spirit. Sometimes when you talk about sin, people think that sin is only immorality. Hey, there are serious sins. Immorality is part of it. But there are so many sins we sin every day and grieve the Spirit every day, and we don't even repent because we have no conscience. And you see, the danger also here is preaching does not convict, though. Preaching and teaching does not convict. It is the Holy Spirit through the preaching and the teaching that convicts of sin, judgment, and of righteousness. Now, there is no conviction in the church anymore because it is just teaching, research, and preaching, but the Holy Spirit is not working because we have grieved him to a point where he doesn't move among us anymore. And the other thing we've done when I show you quench not the Spirit is that we have silenced the Spirit in the church. And what we have today is the prophet. So we are guided by prophets instead of being guided by the Holy Ghost. As many as are led by the Spirit, not as many as are led by prophets. Now stop. Don't clap. I'm not attacking prophet because I'm a prophet in my own way. And I have a lot of sons and daughters who are prophets. Some are sitting here. So I'm not against the prophetic. But let me tell you why prophets have become hot cake in the body. It's because the Holy Spirit is not speaking anymore. The Bible says, let him that have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. So the Spirit is speaking every time, but we've silenced him. And I'll show you why and how we've silenced him. So there are people sitting around us who can prophesy, and they won't. The Bible says, are you all prophets? No. Can you all prophesy? Yes. So where is the gift of prophecy? And where is tongues? And the interpretation of tongues that carries a message different from the tongues we speak to God, which is mystery, or the tongues of edification. Where is those gift, common gift of prophecy in the church? When I went to Church of Pentecost, in those days when I got born again, they never taught me tithing. I never heard the teaching of tithing. I was convicted by the Holy Spirit, and I began to tithe ditto, 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 ditto without teaching on tithing. It was conviction. Today, even when you teach, people will oppose it. Even when you teach on tithing, whether personal tithe or corporate tithe, people will fight it. They will argue it out. This message I'm preaching, after the service, at the car park, there will be a fight there. Somebody will say, so what do you think about what he said? Oh, I didn't understand. Did you understand what he said? I didn't get it all. What was he trying to say? It will become a debate. That is where we have backslided. Chief was he? Yashia say. Gabi ke, what basic? The church is in the state of apostasy. That's where we are now. We are mega. We are growing. We are blessed. We have all these material things and huge buildings. But is the Spirit of God working with us, or he has left us? We will check on that when we talk about how we grieve the Spirit and how we quench the Spirit. You will see the state of the church. And when I say the church, I'm not talking about the building. I'm talking about you and I. Luke chapter 4 verse 1.
And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness.
You see two things. Jesus was being full of the Holy Ghost. And he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. So it's two things. It's one thing to be full of the Holy Ghost. It's another thing to be driven by the Holy Ghost. So you can be full of the Holy Ghost and be driven by your flesh. Because if you are not driven by the Holy Ghost, you are driven by something. And what is driving you? It is not the Holy Ghost driving you, which means if you are not being led or guided or influenced or controlled by the Holy Ghost, you are influenced and controlled by something. It's either your flesh or your reasoning, your feelings, your logic, your emotion, or a demon. I say, but I'm born again. I'm in Christ. Yes. You are born again. You are in Christ. You are Holy Ghost filled. You are a seer. You are a bishop. You are an archbishop. You are a prophet. You are a pastor. You are an evangelist. You are full of the Holy Ghost. But you are driven by your flesh, by your feelings, by sight, and not by revelation. What is guiding you? What moves you? Henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. If you are not led by the Spirit, you'll be led by what you see and by what you hear. If you react to things you hear, you are led by what you are reacting to. If you react to things you see, you are led by what you see. What leads you? What guides you? Who is driving you? Who is controlling you? You are a vehicle. Who is driving you? Who is your driver? Who is leading you? You are full of the Holy Ghost. Yes. You are very gifted. Yes. But it doesn't matter how anointed and gifted and full of the Holy Ghost you are. You can lie. You can cheat. You can fornicate. You can cause adultery. You can be jealous. You can be envious. You will be in strife. You will be unforgiving, angry, vexed. Name it all the works of the flesh. You will fulfill them all. For if we walk by the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So what does that mean? If we are not walking by the Spirit and we are walking by our emotions and our flesh, you will fulfill the lust of the flesh. I'm just telling you, I don't care how long you've been born again, and I don't care how many times you've seen visions of heaven and Jesus and angels, and how many times you prophesy and it has come to pass, none of that is spirituality. No, you don't have to clap. I know some of you don't agree with me, but it doesn't matter. My job is to feed you with the right diet. And I'm feeding you so I will not be held responsible on the day of judgment. There are other things I can preach to excite you right now. You'll be standing on your feet clapping and thanking God for me and hailing me. And you can leave here and say, Charlie, the Archbishop is powerful. Papa is in his element. But they are all emotions. And it's not preparing you for the day of his coming. And I won't fool you. After 40 years, I'm not playing anymore. And I'm not letting you, after the rain, get up from your comfortable bed and come and sit here for me to play with your emotions and tell you what you want to hear and not tell you what you need to hear. I was telling one of my sons the other day, I said, young man, let me tell you something, young man. You all, sometimes you think I'm kolo. And I said, the life you are living now, places you go, I've been there all. I've been to the nightclub, I've been to the discos, and I've done the marijuana, and I've done the booze, and I've done the girls, and I've done all the things you think is cool. And you look at me like some old man who don't know his left from his right, and you call me all kinds of names, it's okay. But I said, young man, when I was out there, I think I was enjoying life, but life was enjoying me. And I said, like Solomon said, after many years, he said, all is vanity. That is all it is. I said, all of this is vanity. And I said, you talk about seeing girls, I know chicks. I know chicks. I know the dimensions and the levels of chicks, and I can put them on the scales and say, this is number so-so and so chick. I know all that. But right now, after 40 years, I've just come to a point that I want to serve Jesus to the end, and I want to keep my garments clean and pure, because you can be in Christ. Preach. You know what Paul said? He said, I have preached to others, I bring my flesh under subjection, lest after preaching to others, I be divinely disapproved and cast away. After all these years, for Jesus to come and say to me, I know you not, then I should have been out there midnight in the discos, in the nightclubs, fooling around, and enjoying life, like Solomon, 1,000 women. Then when you go to hell, you know you did it. So if you go to hell, you deserve it. But not trying to live for God and miss it. I don't want to miss it. I don't know about you. I don't know about you, but I don't want to miss it. I didn't ask you to clap because I know some of you, you are struggling with what I'm preaching, but it doesn't matter. We are still there. Jesus was what? Full of the Holy Ghost. Luke 4:1. He was what?
Full of the Holy Ghost.
And
was led by the Spirit.
You see, two different things. Full of the Holy Ghost in Christ, but fornicating. Jealous. There are some of you seated here. You don't talk to another brother or sister in the church. You have issues with somebody. You don't trust anybody. You are paranoid. You have this attitude. You are always fighting with somebody. Somebody is against you. Somebody wants something from you. Somebody wants your wife. Somebody wants your husband. You have all these thoughts. And the Bible said to him that is pure, all things are pure. But your thoughts are all negative. Your thoughts are contaminated. You are always fighting unnecessary battles. You are never at peace. I will show you the things we do to grieve the Holy Ghost. They are all in the Bible, though. And it's not what I'm saying. I'll show it to you. And all you do is examine yourself in the light of the word and see where you stand. Period. That's all it is. Mine is to present it to you. You have to make the choice and the decision, not me. But we're sitting in the church and we have issues with one another. We don't go to home cells. And there are people dying who shouldn't have died. If you were part of a cell, somebody would have known it. There are people who say, well, it's difficult to get to Papa. It's only the rich people who get to Papa. Who told you? People who want to see me, see me. But some of the people who want to see, they are not even members of this church. Bishop Kwesi will tell you, the calls, it rings off the hook. Most of them are not members of this church. And those who say they are members of this church, nobody knows them. And some of them don't tithe. And even though they don't tithe, I will still see if you don't tithe. But the fact is that they don't belong to a cell. They live in a community. There is a cell there. They don't even know where the cell is. They are not part of anything. Nobody knows them in their community. And they want to see me for what? Children's school fees. Want a visa to travel. Want a scholarship. Want money for their rent. Want money to pay their loan. Want me to talk to some bank manager. God didn't call me to make those calls. When the woman came to see the prophet that the husband has died and the creditors have come to take his two sons, the prophet didn't give him money. He didn't give her money. The prophet said, what do you have in your house? And the prophet pointed to her the answer. My job is to point you to the answer. The answer is what I'm giving to you. Outside of this, I can't make a call for you. I can't call some president or minister of state to connect you. Because some of you, if I connect you, you put us all in trouble. Because you are in Christ, but you are led by your flesh. So it's dangerous to connect you. Am I saying something strange this morning? Because the way some of you are looking at me, it's like I don't know you. Hey, even my best friends are not even smiling. Charlie, serious. And yes, okay, you are not my thankful zone. Let's go to Galatians 5:16.
This I say then, walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
So what is he saying here? What he's saying here simply is you can be in Christ, but if you don't walk by the spirit, if you are not led and driven by the spirit, you fulfill the lust of the flesh. And the flesh has desires. You know, for some time now, I just decided that I wasn't going to eat carbs for some few days now. I haven't had carbs. Only this morning I had a toast of Ezekiel bread. And you should see how my body has been rebelling. My body. And I said, hey, this body is serious. I'm not fasting. I'm eating salads and other things, but I just said to myself, I'm going to stop eating carbs for some time. I want to check something. So no rice, no fufu, no banku, no apim, no yam, nothing. No rice, brown rice, green rice, nothing. Millet, nothing. No carbs. You should see how my body has been fighting me. This body. Then I'll be having headaches. Strange headaches. And I take my pressure. Nothing is wrong. And my body is fighting. And the body is saying, who do you think you are? Why are you doing this to me? You have no right to do that. Yesterday, about 4 in the morning, I woke up to use the rest. And my body said, go to the fridge. Take something. You need some carbs. You can't be doing this. You have no right to do this. My body. I'm not fasting. Stop fasting. I'm preparing for the 21 days. But my body says, I want sugar. I want fufu. I want rice. I want apim, I want bahire, I want millet. Give me Fetri Deji or Sofu Nicholas. What is your problem? You have no right to do this. You can't do this to me. And I said, I'm doing it to you, and you can't do me anything. This flesh, if you give it freedom, it will embarrass you. I'm telling you. The flesh. Brothers, sisters, don't allow this thing. You brothers, you see some sisters walking, smelling some way, looking good. And your flesh will say, this is your kind, this is your time. You better say, Satan, get thee behind me. Because if you don't do that, the flesh will embarrass you. And sister, you can see all these brothers, they look cute. With hair around their chest. And their hands and everywhere. And they smell good. And they'll tell you the perfume they are wearing. Sister, it's flesh. It stinks. You know flesh stinks. Have you ever seen somebody die before? They stink. They've just put on perfumes and makeups and things. It stinks. That is what you are following after. The thing stinks. Kankan, a bone, a geofu, flesh and blood. We've covered it with suit, covered it with nice attires and perfumes and makeups. Still flesh. You've seen a sister, you like her, go to her house early in the morning at 5 in the morning when she hasn't done anything and see her, flesh and blood, alive. Do you remember the movie? You know, I don't know if we still have it. The young man who married a Chinese lady. We had it on the screen. Try and find it. We'll show it one of these days. If you can't find it today, we'll show it on Wednesday. But it's there somewhere. He married, and when they went for the honeymoon, they entered the bedroom, and he said, Charlie, I'm ready. I've been waiting all these years. I'm ready to declare war. And the woman said, okay, let me get ready for you. So she started removing her stuff. When she removed everything, she saw the hair, no hair. Then she put her hands in her mouth, no teeth. Then she started removing the brassiere. Then the guy said, he collapsed. Remember, bro, and a muscle break. Both, not just women are suffering, men are also suffering. All after flesh, flesh, flesh. And the Bible says, flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. And the flesh profited nothing. All this, I'm angry. Me go a fool. I'm angry. Me show. Wow, me who? You see who I am. Me show. You want to know who you are? Go to Lashibi Mortuary. Then you will know. All this, your bluffing and who you are and your principle, your background and who you will see the end of all that. Lashibi, that is where it is. That's it. So why all this mimpani? What is all these things we are holding on to, material things, when it comes to giving? It's like we always give God and eternity crumbs. And we hold to the best for the flesh and life, which is taking us nowhere. Even if you live 100 years, it cannot be compared to how long you live in eternity. And we have to invest more in eternity than we invest in this life. So folks, you know, I'm sorry if I have to be hard, but you know, I'm speaking to myself, not just to you. So as for the Bible, it's not the respecter of anybody. Period. It doesn't. God doesn't care whether you are archbishop or you are prophet or you are evangelist, it doesn't care who you are. Galatians chapter 5 verse 25 and Galatians 3:3, and let's go home.
If we live in the spirit, let us also walk in the spirit.
Simple. So it's one thing to live in the spirit, it's another thing to walk in the spirit. So you can live in the spirit and not walk in the spirit. And you can walk in the spirit and not live in the spirit. Very simple. Galatians 3:3.
Are you so foolish? Having begun in the spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh?
You see, so this is why, this is just a reminder, okay? I know this is not a very big revelation. I know it's basics. But we need to remind ourselves, though, that this flesh, if you follow this flesh, you can begin in the spirit. And you can be made perfect in the flesh. And I'll show you on Wednesday some of the things that makes us perfect in the flesh. Where you are Holy Ghost filled, you are prophesying, you are seeing vision. You see, gifts doesn't make you spiritual. A gift is a gift. When I give you a gift, it's a gift. You didn't work for it. You didn't earn it. I gave it as a gift. But spirituality, which is maturity, comes by hard work. You see, you can have artificial fruit overnight on a tree, but it takes a long time to see a tree bear fruit. And fruit bearing is difficult. Things like long suffering is a fruit. Temperance, kindness, gentleness, patience, love. And he goes on and goes on. Those are fruits. And it takes time to develop them. It doesn't take anything to be angry. I can make you angry right now. If I call one of you and embarrass you, say something that is not nice, you can be angry. But I can't make you bear fruit right now. If I start leading all of us to pray in the spirit and I begin to release some of you to prophesy, you'll be surprised to see people who will be prophesying. Somebody who even last night committed fornication can prophesy. Yeah. That's why you see people very, very gifted. Doing all kinds of reactions. How can he be gifted? How can they say they are man of God, woman of God, do this, and they are doing this and doing that? That is not the issue. They are still in Christ. They are children of God. But they are driven by the flesh and not by the spirit. And the reason why I'm reminding you is because, you see, we can begin in the spirit and we can be perfected in the flesh. We can end in the flesh. Fighting one another, strife, jealousy, envy, carnality, flesh, hunam. Perfect in the flesh. Hello. Living a misole. Yeah, yes, you bam. I can see about te was she kept the hello me. Kebo te bumomi na wajewo. Yeah, yes, you bam. Na draw a passua no hewale. Kehila bumofonzia no hewale. Keke sula no hewale. Ke ayano hewale. Yeah, yes, you bam. Kemo amen. This flesh, it profited nothing. And if we are not careful, we will focus on the flesh, fight one another for nothing. As you are sitting there, you can die. And if they leave you in your room for a few days, you will smell. So, what is all this? I'm angry. I won't come to church again. Me, I won't join the cell. Me, I don't want to have anything to do with that archbishop. That man, he just insults people. I'm not insulting anybody. I'm just using vocabularies, statement and a language to get your attention so I can inject the truth. Stand. Lift up your hands. Create in me a clean heart. Lift up your hands. Oh, oh God. And renew the right spirit within me. Just lift up your hands. You are talking to your God. Create in me a clean heart. Because you can be in Christ and have a wrong spirit, a wrong attitude, a negative attitude, always angry, always hurt, always offended, always moody, always cold, always critical of others. You never speak well of anybody but yourself. You are critical of everybody but yourself. It's a wrong spirit. And David said, create in me a right spirit. Take not away from me your Holy Spirit. Lift up your hands. Oh, blood of Jesus, cleanse us. Cleanse us. Cleanse us from every uncleanness. Cleanse us from deception. Cleanse us from arrogance. Cleanse us from pride. Cleanse us from wrong interpretation of scripture. Cleanse us from the contamination and from demonic activities and DNAs. I want everyone here who said, Papa, pray with me. I want God to create in me a right spirit. I don't want to miss my steps. I don't want to miss him on that day. I've heard everything you've said. Just pray for me. I want to be led and driven by the Spirit. Please come forward. And also understand that when you hear the voice of the Spirit and you don't come forward, it's one of the ways we grieve the Holy Ghost. When you know that what is being said is true, but yet because of who you are in society, where you stand in the church, you hold back and you keep standing when you know you must come forward. It's one of the ways we grieve the Holy Ghost. We make him a liar. So if you must come forward, please come. It's between you and God. Whatever it is, it's none of my business. I'm also working out my own salvation with fear and trembling. Let every man, including archbishops and prophets and apostles and bishops and senior bishops and small bishops and big bishops and prophetesses, whoever, let everybody work out their own salvation with fear and trembling. Please lift up your hands wherever you are. Father, we have all come just as we are. None of us here is better than another. For it is the blood that has redeemed all of us. And we are in Christ. And yet we are not living accordingly because of ignorance. And you have said that your people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. I pray therefore, Father, that the blood will cleanse us. Even the blood that speaketh better things than the blood of Abel will cleanse everyone here, including those who are standing who should have come forward. Whatever the reason is, I pray for the conviction of the Holy Ghost. I pray that the Spirit will convict of sin. The Spirit will convict of righteousness. The Spirit will convict of judgment. And that, Father, nobody here under the sound of my voice will miss that day when you appear in the clouds of glory. That we will all live as it is required of us by you. Not by archbishop, not by church elders or deacons, not by the church board, not by other Christians, but living to please you and you only. Even if we are misunderstood, misrepresented, and even if people take us for granted and take advantage of us, as long as we are pleasing you, it is well. It is well. When peace like a river attended my world. Innocent and free and clean of every other blood. That you must come to a place where you make a decision in your life that my husband, my wife, my children, nobody will be an obstacle to my salvation. You have to come there. I'm telling you. That if your husband or your wife or your children or your siblings, if anybody decides that they are not going to serve God the way they should, you must determine that as for me, I will serve God the way I should. At the end of the day, we will all stand before God individually and we will all give an account for us individually. I will not be responsible for my wife's salvation, nor for my husband's salvation, nor for my children's salvation. When I stand before the Master, it's my salvation and it's theirs. It's a very serious thing. And you know, one of the temptations I've had over the years, if people coming to me, asking me to loan them something, or borrow me this, borrow, I'll give it back to you, and they don't give it back. And I used to get hurt, and it was making me bitter, and I didn't like the way it was making me feel. So I prayed, and one day the Lord said to me, let me tell you how you fix this. He said, stop borrowing them things. If somebody come and say they need 1,000 CDs, tell them, I don't lend money to believers. So what you do is, if it is 200, 300, 500, give give it to them and say, brother, sister, take it. It's a gift. God bless you. He will give the rest to you somewhere else and give it to them. So I don't lend money to believers. I don't do it. I started having my peace from that time. That's it. So I don't lose my Christianity. Because even helping somebody can make you lose your Christianity. I'm telling you. My father used to say something that Obi wohono obuawa no how. So I've learned. You come to me and say, Papa, can you give me a handkerchief? I said, no. I'll cut it into two. Take half. Means my far half. Yamin Shiram. Another half, no, Yamin be mouth somewhere else. And why no? No fight. On Wednesday, I want to show you the things we do that grieves the Holy Spirit. Look at me. You'll be shocked. Because including me, all of us, we are guilty. And I never saw it until recently. The Holy Spirit said, you call yourself Archbishop? I said, yes, I'm Archbishop. He said, okay, come with me, Archbishop. He started showing. I said, hey, it would have been my fiance. And I said, but I'm Archbishop. Who is Archbishop? God is not the respecter of your office. God favors people who obey him. I'll show you. Amen. Now let me tell you something. I'm so proud of those of you who came forward. Just coming forward.